Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we have another day to serve God, to bring Him glory, and see Him move in miraculous ways in our lives. And what the Lord has led me to share with you today and perhaps for another few days, we're going to look at Psalm 143. And I've entitled this message, What to Do When You're at the End of Your Rope. Because there are times all of us feel that we don't know what we're going to do unless God undertakes that. Whatever the situations are in our lives, God speaks to us out of His Word. And it's very noteworthy to understand that in the Psalms, there's generally generality. Sometimes they're not very specific because the Holy Spirit wanted the words of David or the psalmist to be pertinent and applicable to our lives. And so Psalm 143 is one of the seven penitential psalms. That's a sort of a scholarly term, which consists of Psalm 6, Psalm 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and this last one is Psalm 143. And it describes great distress that David is in. And he laments and confesses sin. That's the first thing he does, really, in terms of seeking the help of God. He appeals for mercy. That's verses 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And he laments his present distress, verses 3 and 4. We're going to go into that a little more closely. And then he longs for God's blessings. Sometimes when we go through difficult seasons in our lives, we remember the times when we've walked in joy, the joy of our salvation, when God has answered prayer, and there's the work of the enemy seems in abeyance, and we're just praising God for His goodness and His blessings and His fellowship. And so David is reminding the Lord and longing for that deliverance. And the end of the psalm, of course, there's prayers for his deliverance, for guidance in his situation, as well as vindication. There are 12 verses in this psalm, and we're going to be looking at them. But before we begin, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word speaks to every need of our heart and mind and to the seasons of our lives. And Lord, there are those that are going through very difficult times, and we can utilize the instruction, the format, if you will, that is outlined by the Holy Spirit in this psalm and secure the results that David did. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. That's what Psalm says. So, Father, we thank you that you are a great and a merciful God. You are with your people in the time of trial and battle, and you have guaranteed, you have promised us, if we walk according to your ways, that you will give us victory. Times may be difficult, even as they were for David. He was the anointed of God. He was to be the promised king of Israel. And yet he ran for many years from Saul, who was pursuing him for his life. And so, Father, we thank you that we know, as Jesus said, in this world we will have tribulation, but you have overcome the world. And because you have overcome, we shall also. Father, just minister to those who are going through difficult times. Let faith arise, and let by the power of the Holy Spirit, the truths and the instructions in this psalm be keys to open up the door for deliverance and guidance, even as you did for your servant David. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right, let me read verses 1 and 2 again. This is Psalm 143 we're looking at. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, he's appealing unto the Lord's nature and character, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. He's not specific, but David is in dire need. He realizes that he can't pressure God into helping him on the basis of his own merits. He's saying, you know, there's none that are righteous, none justified in thy sight. He, as we, have a covenant relationship with God. He's a servant of the Lord, just as every child of God who's confessed Jesus and has him as Savior and Lord, they are servants of the living God. And God initiates this covenant relationship. Regardless of how long you've walked with the Lord, it was your response to the wooing of the Holy Spirit that you surrendered your life to the Lord. So he initiates this relationship that he has with us, and thank God, he maintains it by divine grace. He talks about faithfulness, David does, and God is true. That's the very nature of God. He's true to his covenant promises, and his righteousness, which he is appealing to, is God's very nature, his ability to set things right, as well as vindicate his servants. And he appeals to God's mercy rather than judgment. Thank God for God's mercy. It is his mercy that sent Jesus into the world to suffer and die and atone for the sins of mankind. Whomsoever will can drink freely of the waters of life because of what Jesus did. So David appeals to God's mercy, and he expresses a conviction of the power of sin. All of us are subject to that. Remember Paul, he said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do because of the law of sin in his members, our members. It is the very nature of who we are. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us. And he, just as we have a covenant relationship with the Lord. So he's appealing to God's mercy rather than a judgment. He's expressing a conviction of the power of sin. And we have to agree with him that every man born into the world is a slave to sin. There's one way left open to him, and that is to give himself wholly to the grace of God. Now, in the next two verses, let me read those. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Makes me think of another passage in Psalms, where my spirit is overwhelmed within me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's speaking in general terms, but very strong terms. He is not in a good predicament. He's the victim of ruthless persecution. And sometimes that may be the case in our own life, from family, from loved ones, sometimes even from members of the body of Christ who do not have understanding and are being used of the enemy to afflict and torment us, because so much of what David was going through, they were his familiar friends, if you will. They were family. They didn't understand what he was doing and how God was dealing with him. And so we sometimes in our relationships can experience persecution, but failing that, there is always the persecution, the battle, the spiritual warfare that comes against us, the persecution from the enemy of our soul, from Satan and his henchmen. And he makes, David does, varied allusions to death. And in verse 3, he's emphasizing the devastating effect upon his life. He stands in death's shadow. He's weakened in body, mind, and spirit. He doesn't have vitality. I don't know if you have ever been in a place like that where you felt so weak, not only physically, but spiritually. And he was comparing himself to the helpless ghost in prison in Sheol. And this, whatever he's going through, this harrowing experience has left him dazed with despair. And only if you have been in a similar situation where it seems like God is afar off, he's not moving, you've been praying, crying out to him, and you're really in desperation. As I said, that scripture, when my spirit is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We need to be planted on a solid foundation, that of Jesus. We understand that. We know that. And he will grant us that ability to feel secure. Even though the waters are swirling around us, he will bring us into a place of rest and peace in him while we're going through the trial. And then we will see in his mercy, in his wisdom and judgment, he will deliver his servants. Sometimes it's not in the way or the time that we want, but he is faithful to his promises. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, hear this promise, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Praise God. Well, we've gone through just the first four verses, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray that you'll be able to join me, and if not, you can always go to our website and listen to the broadcasts that are archived there. And as always, I give you an invitation to write and share your prayer needs. God hasn't changed. There is a spiritual principle in the power of agreeing prayer. You may not have anyone you can really share or talk with, or if you're just want to share an unspoken request. People have done that over the years, and I've prayed in the Spirit and with whatever understanding God will give. So the announcer will give our contact information. If you email, if you want to include your mailing address, I can respond personally by a letter, but I always will confirm receipt and pray. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.